Good evening. This is Life Rattle, your story show. I'm your host, Lori Callis. Tonight, on Life Rattle number 1335, we feature three stories by new Life Rattle writer, Kinsey Yangsu Chong. Kinsey Yangsu Chong was born in 1993 in China. She was born on a sunny, snowy day, hence her name, which means sunshine and snow. Growing up with busy parents, Kinsey spent most of her time reading, from comics to fairy tales and then to fiction. Books were, and still are, her best friends. She moved out to an international boarding school at age 15. Being away from home has taught her to be stronger and more independent. Kinsey's passion for reading and movies has motivated her to be someone who documents stories and collects beautiful moments of life. In 2011, Kinsey moved to Canada, where she pursued studies in cinema and visual art. Kinsey Yangsu Chong will follow her dream to Japan this year, where she will attend film school. Kinsey possesses the ability to precisely capture unexpected moments and feelings in an absolutely original manner. Moments that we might not recall or might overlook in day-to-day life. Yet, when Kinsey describes them, you're left awestruck by how significantly true these moments are, and the perfection of her portrayal, and by the honesty and self-awareness in what she divulges. Although the three stories we will hear tonight each have very different subject matter, the artistry of Kinsey's reading and the distinct personality of the narrator featured in all three beautifully link them together. Tonight's first story, a light-hearted tale of young attraction and all of the awkwardness and timidity and joy it inspires, will charm you, no matter how hard you resist. Let's listen now as Kinsey Yangsu Song reads her story, Bus Ride, tonight on Life Rattle.
Bus Ride by Kinsey Yangsu Song. My toes itch inside my white running shoes. I tap my feet against dusty concrete at the empty bus stop, trying to fully wake myself. Tree branches overhead sway in the late morning summer breeze. I look at my phone. 9:20. The bus comes at 9:22. I stand up and walk out the dappled shade. The vibrant orange bus appears on the street and slowly pulls up in front of me. The door opens. Good morning. The bus driver greets me with a big, bright smile. Strangely, I feel something good will happen today. Good morning, sir, I say back. The bus is almost full. Students with backpacks on their laps chat. Adults wearing sunglasses stare at me. There is no room at the front. I look toward the back, narrowing my eyes to search for an empty seat. Like I have received an electric shock, my brain freezes. I see him sitting in the left corner at the back of the bus. Kaylin, who I took animation and art history with last year, who I always see first in a crowded classroom, who causes me to lose control over my heart whenever his eyes meet mine. As I walk towards the back, I feel my paws race like a frantic animal's. I have no choice but to approach the back seat today. I've labeled the back of the bus, where Kaylin always sits, where I can hardly breathe, as the unapproachable ozone area. I hold my breath and struggle to lower my eyes, to not look at Kaylin. I feel his glance on the side of my face as I speed to the only empty spot, the right corner of the back seat. I slip next to the window and slide my backpack from my shoulder onto the seat next to me. I face the window and slowly adjust my heartbeat. I am glad I didn't put on blush this morning. Otherwise, the apples of my cheeks burst for sure. I peek at Kaylin after a long breath. He is reading. I rest my hands on my lap. Four seats between us. I think to myself. The bus pulls away. My mind goes blank. I stare out at the unvarying view of Mississauga Road. My backbone feels stiff. My rigid posture hurts my neck. But I cannot move. I'm scared Kaylin might notice me. I breathe carefully, as if the air between us might expose my secret. As if all the oxygen molecules might betray me and scream at Kaylin, "Hey, she likes you. She likes you." I shut my eyes. My heart aches. The scene of me sitting beside Kaylin has played so many times in my dreams. The dreams seem beautiful, but the reality feels breathless. I want to ask him, "Do you remember we were in the same class last semester?" Maybe he will recognize me, and then I could ask, "What are you taking this year?" Maybe we'll be in the same class again. Mississauga Road at University of Toronto campus. The driver says, as he stops the bus. People stand up and rush out. I sit still and wait. I quickly glance at Kaylin. He is up, but shows no sign of leaving. I feel his gaze on me. I stand up. Four seats. Three seats. Two seats. I count down the distance between me and him. One. I keep my eyes on the floor. I hold my breath. Everything fell still. I walk softly, scared to step even a smidgen over the boundary between Kaylin and me. My pounding heart finally slows when I step off the bus. The moist air forecasts a possible shower later today. Ahead of me, Kaylin walks towards the same building my class is in. I stop. I turn around and walk in the opposite direction. I don't know why my brain directs me this way while my heart is so desperate to follow him. We took the same bus. I smile. Kaylin waited for me to exit the bus first. I hear my fingertips cheering. "He waits for you on the bus." I feel like clapping and dancing. Next time, I should say hi. Maybe even smile. Maybe.
That was Kinsey Yangsu Chong reading her story, Bus Ride. In our next story, we follow our young narrator to Northern Ontario, where her cousin has secured her a summer job. Aghast at the emptiness of the land and her unexpected workplace, She longs for home until she discovers some unexpected benefits. Let's listen now as Kinsey Yangsu Chong reads her story, Summer Job.
Summer Job by Kinsey Yangsu Chong. I still cannot believe I'm flying to Capsaicin at 7:45 a.m. The airport lacks the vitality of a crowd of people bumping into each other with their oversized luggage. The air inside runs freely without the immense demand of human conception. I look sullen at the few passengers wondering and chatting, and prefer to sit alone in my morning stupor. I'm still sleepy. I feel the urge of my daily caffeine kick. Too early, I think. My flight doesn't depart until 11:30. I give in. The coffee wakes me up. The excitement of working as a translator in Capsaicin emerges like a whale spot above the surface of the ocean. Thanks to my cousin, who recommended me to his company, I have gained the opportunity to make my mundane summer 10 times better. Well, at least better than hiding in my room, as if it were a cave. Even though I enjoy that too. The flight is not too long. 1.5 hours after departure, we arrived at Timmins Airport. The sun scorches the ground. It's hotter than I expected. Kiki, my cousin, Lee, waves at me. He wears a big smile. He doesn't look much different from 3 years ago. Look at you. You're all grown up now. Lee looks at me if I'm a newly discovered species. Well, it's been 3 years. I'm 19 now. I respond defensively. You still have your baby face, though, Lee laughs. I stay silent and stare daggers at him. I don't like people calling me baby face. Come on, let's go. We need to do a lot of stuff before we head to the site, Lee says. Wait, site? I feel confused. What site? After getting out of the airport, the space outside feels enormous and empty. Unlike downtown Toronto, Capsaicin has no tall buildings. No three-story houses line the sides of the streets. Nothing. The sky and the land meet at the invisible horizon line. Just like two bands on a blank canvas. Get in the car. Lee's voice drags me back from the shock of that unexpected emptiness where my summer begins. So, where are we going? I ask him. We're going to the construction site. Didn't I tell you we will work there? But first, we need to do some shopping for you. You need a safety cap and some sturdy clothes. Lee glanced at my summer outfit. And definitely something other than those flip-flops you're wearing. Lee winks at me. An uneasy feeling runs from my brain to my backbone. It's a trap. I thought I had come here to help him with the translations. My heart pounds. Am I to be a worker? With a neon orange vest and a hard hat? I try to stay calm, but my voice still sounds like a scream. No, I don't think they will ask you to build a dam. You might break your bones. Lee laughs again. Not funny, I murmur. I stay silent while Lee talks about the site, who his company works with, and how long the project will last. I stare at the scenery outside. All I see are trees, bushes, and more trees. I shut my eyes. I miss my room. Here we are. Lee gently nudges me. Wake up. Tired and sleepy. I have lost my excitement and any interest in meeting my co-workers and exploring my new workplace. I just follow Lee, walking like a zombie. Do you want a vest or new t-shirt? Lee picks up two orange pieces. They look identical to me. I don't like their neon colors. Vest, I say. At least I will be able to wear my own shirt underneath. After 20 minutes of shopping, I have transformed into what Lee calls the standard look on site. I walk out the store without looking into the mirror. It doesn't matter how I look. I just hope time passes quickly. You will be fine. You look worried. Lee pats on my back. I'm just a little tired. I feel sorry for Lee. He has done so much for me. But I still whine about everything. Lee is right. I am still a baby. So where are we going now? I ask him, trying to lighten up my mood, to the construction site. I will introduce you to our colleagues. They're excited to see you. Lee grins at me. The uneasy feelings returns. Lee turns the car onto a narrow road. The car bumps along the uneven path. We're here. Lee hands me my hard hat. Let's go. I walk slowly after Lee. My new work boots are heavy. Hey guys, Lee shouts out. Kiki's here. I feel as if I stand under a spotlight. I feel the gaze of everyone. I am at the center of everyone's attention. All of them stop working at the moment and come to talk to me. Being the only female on a construction site might not be such a bad thing. I feel the excitement rise again. I smile at Lee. He is right. I have already started to enjoy my summer job.
That was Kinsey Yangsu Chong reading her story, Summer Job. Our next story reveals another side of our narrator when we accompany her and her mother on a hospital visit they pay to her ailing grandfather. Within the profound sorrow of this story rise moments of such beauty and truth that we are left with illumination as well as tears. Let's listen now as Kinsey Yangsu Chong reads her final story tonight, Vain.
Vain by Kinsey Yangsu Chong. The antiseptic smell of the hospital stings my nose. I feel numb, lightheaded. I walk slowly behind my mom. Every step feels heavy, as if my feet are rooted to the ground. As we enter the intensive care unit, the sudden dimness of the fluorescent lighting hastens my heartbeat. Mom stops. I look up at the round black numbers on the pale door, 507. Mom reaches out her hand and gently pushes the door open. The floor, free from dirt, gleams. Everything appears to glow, with no sign of life. As if bacteria could snatch nothing from the sterilized air that fills this room. A sheer sensation of fear flashes all over my body. Dad? Mom says. Grandpa lies on the bed, attached to different tubes and monitors like a marionette. Except these tubes cannot even help him move. Are you sleeping? Mom asks quietly. Slowly, Grandpa turns over and looks at us. His sunken cheeks bear more wrinkles. He has lost a lot of weight and all of his hair. I walk closer. Grandpa looks airy, fragile. Underneath his loose skin, light blue veins branch out like tree roots. I put my hands on my grandpa's, feeling his light pulse secretly transmitting his longing into my veins. The longing to see the world. I look at him. Tears glimmer in his eyes. His lips tremble. No one talks. There is so much pain inside the room, and so little to say about it. The doctor walks in. He suggests that we leave in 15 minutes because Grandpa needs to rest. We'll come back another day. Don't worry about the family. Just listen to doctors and rest, says Mom as she tucks Grandpa's arms beneath the quilt. I look at Grandpa's scrawny arms, as white as the bedsheets they lie on. I remember someone telling me that sleep is the best medicine. I bend down and whisper in Grandpa's ear, "Sleep well, Grandpa." The absence of fresh air in the hospital compresses the whole interior space. My throat feels tight. Mom says nothing as we walk out to the dark parking lot. It is late, almost 11. A winter rainstorm has encased the leafless trees in ice. Salt on the streets crunches beneath our feet. In the car, Mom covers her face with both hands. She cries short, dry sobs. Her body shivers involuntarily. Mom dangles at the end of her tether, as if one poke would shatter the frail shield of her tender heart. I sit quietly. My eyes are moist, but my heart feels still. Mom looks weaker than usual, and without the toughness she puts on daily, she looks bare, like a tree without leaves. Seeing Mom cry hurts me so much that I cannot feel the pain anymore. I feel hollow. I know comforting lies should come out of my mouth, but I stay silent. I'm afraid to say, "Grandpa's going to be all right," to Mom, because I fear hope. I fear at the end I will still lose it. I stretch out my arms and clench my fingers into my palms. My veins pop up. They pattern my skin like tattoos. I hold my hands together, feeling them intertwine with each other. My numbness slowly fades away. I feel alive. Mom stops crying and she starts the car. I buckle up my seatbelt and turn to her. Mom, let's go home.
That was Kinsey Yangsu Chong reading her story, Vain. This concludes Life Adult number 1335. My name is Lori Callis. I had the great pleasure of recording Kinsey reading her stories. Life Adult was created by Arnie Ackman and Guy Allen. Be sure to tune into our next show for more new stories.